Hello, how's everybody tonight? This discussion. It looks like Mike is getting connected. He might be having some connection issues. We were just waiting on him to start, but since he is having some connection issues, I just wanted to welcome everyone to this space for this discussion on hard work. Okay, great. Awesome. You're here. Awesome. Cool. Okay.
We got it. We got
Awesome.
Hello,
Well,
my
I'm
friend.
welcoming everyone to the space. It looked like you were having some trouble, but take it away.
All right. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. It's definitely a global community here. I think 6 a.m. for me, I think Meow as well, and afternoon in the West Coast and late evening in Europe. So I always appreciate our global community making time to tune in. So today is I would say, a pretty special Twitter Spaces where we have Andrew Lee with us, as well as Meow, some early contributor. And the discussion, as you can see in the title, is called Hard Fork Discussion. And it's definitely stirred the pot in the community. And, I think it's generally been a healthy discussion. I mean, I think while there's a little bit of emotions, of course. I mean, it means we all care about Handshake, and we all care about the future of this protocol, as well as the internet and the decentralized web. So, I'm really proud as a director, or as a community member of Handshake, to see all this healthy discussion. So I just want to start off with that. Also, another little announcement is Meg's Machine, you may have seen, is also doing a Twitter Spaces in, because NamesCon is happening right now. He's there and a few others representing Handshake. So there will be another Twitter Spaces in a few days. The idea is this one could be setting some ideas, hearing from Andrew and others in the community, and then maybe it can also, that one could be a little bit more of a open discussion as well. Of course, we welcome people here to ask questions and engage, but that could be like a follow-up Twitter Spaces. So definitely make sure, if you haven't seen it, check out Meg's Machine. If we can pin that tweet, and so that people can see that and register, or set the reminder. So we have with us, I believe we have Andrew, you here?
Yep, I'm
All
here.
right, great. And Meow, do you want to do a little test? Are you here? I know it's early for you.
Hello, how's it going?
All right, great. Great. So maybe we start with a quick little intro. I know, Andrew, people are familiar with you. You're Andrew Lee from The Purse. I know you even said there's a naming collision because there's two Andrew Lees in the founding team. So you're Andrew Lee from The Purse IO. And do you want to just give a little intro for people here?
Thanks everybody for joining. I think this is an important discussion that we get kicked off. I don't have any hard opinions about this discussion, but provide perhaps I can provide some insights into kind of the motivation for kind of the airdrop and what potential what potential adjustments we could or could not make and kind of going forward. But yeah, I'm happy to be here and thank you, Mike, for hosting this.
Okay, great. Thank you, Andrew. And Meow, do you want to? I know some people are curious to learn more about yourself. If you're willing to share and introduce yourself.
Yeah, for sure. I was involved in Handshake since the very early days, where I worked with the guys on it. And I think specifically, I think the part that I was really kind of focused on was the airdrop, right? And about kind of how to do it in a way that would drive the most amount of adoption, right, and interaction of Handshake. Yeah, so I think and that's the reason why I'm here. I think it will be fun to kind of like bring up some discuss with Andrew. So I've been discussing this with Andrew for a fair bit about kind of like how to move Handshake forward. And I've also written about Handshake before with Andrew and another contributor called Cassandra. about how Handshake can be used more broadly, not just for DNS, but also kind of as a naming system, right, for the decentralized web. I think this hard fork is going to be very important, right, because it would almost certainly be the main determinant, right, of like what direction, right, you know, Handshake is going to go, you know, right, not just from a technical direction, but also from a community and organizational level, right? So I think, yeah, you know, I thought it'd be great to come here and share some ideas, right, about where I think it can go. Yeah, I think, so on my end, I think I've been working on mostly in decentralized finance, right? I currently run like one of the largest like decentralized exchanges, right, called Jupiter. You know, we are the largest like decentralized system on Solana, right? And also kind of like one, as well as pretty prominent on the web as well. Yeah, so that's what I do now.
Great. Thank you, Mia. That's awesome. I appreciate the background myself. So maybe a good way to start is Aaron, AOX. I don't know if he's also on the space. He's at NamesCon right now, so he may not join, but he's been sharing around in various channels leading up to this call. About there is a hard fork happening, or maybe someone can help me define hard fork. There's like interchange about soft fork, hard fork, but I'll just read exactly what he says. This was like a few hours ago. Node.ch has been working on a soft fork that disables claims for ICANN and optionally top 100. The fork needs to start signaling very soonish to have 6 months to be safe. He is making it as safe as possible to avoid any risks with hard forks. He is only one person, so the focus is to do the minimum to freeze ICANN/100/custom. There is not enough time or consensus to risk delaying this further. The coins and other stuff can be discussed, but any other changes will need to wait for January 2024 after this fork is rolled out and any links to a GitHub. So I don't know if someone wants to help me maybe explain that to people here. That's basically, I think there's full consensus about extending name claims for top sites. And I think everyone's always agreed on that discussion.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, let me provide you some little bit of background. So I think the why now kind of question, why we're all kind of here discussing this topic is for two reasons. One's kind of technical. There was the top 100,000 Alexa names as well as existing GTLDs and such were reserved on the Handshake blockchain, and the reserve period expires. In about 6 months or so. I think there's general consensus amongst the community that we shouldn't let that expire. I mean, the implications of letting it expire would be that like anybody could, you know, start kind of bidding on names like .google, .apple, .facebook, and generally we kind of don't want to see that happen. I think there's and to your comment, I'm not entirely sure. I was under the impression that extending that claim period for the top 100,000 Alexa names would result in a hard fork, but I could be wrong there. Please correct me if I'm wrong on that assumption. And then secondarily, like, you know, I mean, you know, Handshake has always been kind of it's been an experiment, and part of that experiment was the airdrop, so some of the motivation and rationale behind the airdrop is, well, yeah, I understand that like Bitcoin and things like that, Bitcoin didn't have an airdrop, there may be some kind of sentiment around like, hey, you know, we don't have to do anything because Bitcoin didn't have to, but you know, Bitcoin was first, right? It was novel. You can only really do that once, if you're a project that's coming after Bitcoin, you know, you have to kind, you know, you should kind of consider and think about ways to bootstrap the community and really kind of kickstart like the adoption cycle. And 3.5 years in since launch, the open source claims to individual open source developers that has been it hasn't been you know kind of what we expected, and there's a large amount of coins that are still reserved for open source developers to claim. It may result in maybe something close to 50% of the current Handshake supply. Handshake coin supply. And so so now knowing, you know, 3.5 years, so what's kind of odd about the situation is that the by design, the open source developer claim that was kind of infinite. Like, you know, the open source developers could kind of claim that anytime, and you know, 3.5 years in, it's unclear whether open source developers will claim at all. So so it would be kind of interesting to see that expire. And if we do let it expire, could we, you know, reallocate it in some other fashion? In hindsight, maybe it could have been the other way around, where the Alexa top 100,000 Alexa names in the GTLDs, we let that be claimed infinitely, and the open source developers claim expire at a certain point, but we had, you know, and it was inverted. And that inversion, you know, in terms of like the expiration date around these things, wasn't intentional. I believe that the kind of the decision around that had to do with kind of the security, the cryptographic security around how long we could trust these keys to be safe. Again, like this is more like JJ's kind of field than mine, but it's my understanding that like, you know, SSH keys on GitHub have high, you know, kind of like a higher security, lower risk type profile than the keys that hold the like domain names, especially like the GTLDs. I could get this wrong, but I think some of the GTLD keys are held in like SHA-1 and things like that. And 3.5 years ago, it was very unclear whether some of those cryptographic schemes would get broken at some point or not. And so it was merely based on, you know, in terms of like how we structured this by design, the original design, how we kind of thought about the claim expiration period for these two groups. A lot of the thinking was more based on the cryptographic security more than kind of like the adoption cycle. So right now I think, you know, with the timing, with the with name claims, you know, potentially expiring in 6 months, I think it's a good time to kind of, have this discussion within the community. Does that make sense?
All right. No, I get it. I understand. Yeah. It's interesting about the inverse. Vita, are you there? Do you want to?
Yeah. I think to add on to what Andrew is saying, right? I think it's very important to have this discussion now, right? The reason is that, I mean, precisely because I sort of said, right? It's Handshake is a decentralized community that isn't either a strong character or a very strong foundation to drive it forward, right? So it's actually exceedingly hard to gather the motivation, right? You know, for this discussion. Right. So I think the fact that I think something is happening soon, right, aka the aspirations, I think that's actually an amazing chance, right, to kind of have a discussion, you know, about the hard fork, right, about the treasury, about the airdrop, right, the unclaimed airdrops. Because I think if we miss a chance, I think it might be very long later, you know, before we can have discussion again, right? So I think I would definitely, I'm very grateful for the discussion and the timing, right? And I think that it's important to kind of like, you know, to use the chance, right? You know, yeah, to do that. Yeah. As for what Andrew, and what, that's the first thing. I think the second thing is that I think what's actually really important here is to think about the original motivations, right? You know, of the airdrop, right? The original motivation of airdrop was actually really based on the hypothesis, right? I think as Andrew mentioned earlier, it's an experiment, right? A hypothesis that like, okay, if we do this like airdrop to the community, right, then something will happen, right? You know, then, you know, we will see mass scale developers, right, in adopting Handshake, right, into including Handshake into their protocols, right, into their apps. So I think so the question one to ask ourselves is that, has that happened, right? You know, has like has that airdrop resulted in a large amount of developer interest, right? Sustained interest, by the way, not just claim and dumb interest, right? Right, you know, right? And certainly from my from my interactions, right, with people who are like not deep in Handshake, right, it has been most people don't know about it, and if they do know about it, it's more like, yeah, you know, I claimed and sold it, you know, or find ways to sell it, right, you know. So there wasn't that. I think what was a bit disappointing was that there wasn't that the adoption, right, you know, from the regular developers, right, or interest that as we've seen. I think so that's the first question I think we should ask, right, is like, has that worked, right, you know. And the third and the question is that, okay, if it has worked, if we think that it really hasn't had the effect that we wanted to, right, then okay, then as a community, right, you know, are we okay revisiting, right, you know, past decisions, right? Is that something we want to do, right? I think that is a really important one, right, you know, right? And because that would in some sense be the first time you know, the community would take a decision to do something, right, you know, around autonomous. And personally, and speaking from a very practical point of view, right, you know, I mean, we're in crypto, right? So there's definitely the question of a supply overhang, right? AKA you know, having a large amount of token in the market, right, you know, it's always gonna pose a potential dumping question, right? You know, what if Handshake becomes a little more prominent, right? You know, and everyone claims and start dumping it, right? So I think having more supply certainty about, like, you know, what is happening, you know, with their supply, you know, could actually be really interesting, right? You know, for Handshake. Yeah. And lastly is that I think and one last thing I'll share here is that I think we can also consider, like, okay, three and a half years in, right? If you're revisiting assumptions, right, around like did the airdrop work, right, you know, and another obviously the other very major assumption was DNS, right? It's like, okay, the entire premise of Handshake was on DNS. However, I think you know, the naming is a very widespread problem, right? It's not just DNS. Every single entity on the internet, right, needs a name. And it's true whether and especially true for certain things like decentralized social networks, right, you know. And so one of the most interesting decentralized network order is like it's a service called Nostra, NOSTR, and that protocol is probably the most, I would say, Handshake aligned, right, you know, social protocol compared to like, say, like Mastodon or Farcaster, right, you know, which is very different. So I think I encourage everyone to check out Nostra. I can also explain this a bit more on call. But basically what me and Andrew was kind of brainstorming, right, was that Nostra actually has a really big active user community, right, you know, and most of them don't have names, right? The naming system in Nostra right now is kind of broken. It is like either dependent on, it's basically reliant on like the user linking their website, or having, I think, having a temporary relay specific name. But Handshake could provide, the Handshake could actually be the naming system, right, you know, for Nostra, right? Which would obviously be a really perfect match, right, in terms of like use case and alignment. And I think if the airdrop can be used for that purpose, right, you know, that could actually be interesting, you know, to drive adoption among that specific community, right? So yeah, I think in summary, I think a few things I think can discuss. Number one, I think, is this the right time to call to talk the to airdrop? I think it is, because I think if we don't do it now, I think it might be a long time before we can do it again, right, given how things work. Second thing is that we have to revisit some of the assumptions that were the motivations, right, as Andrew very, very nicely articulated earlier. And thirdly is that I think we can also look into kind of having a more specific use case, right? You know, for the adult coins, because without a more specific reason to unlock it, right? It might just go, okay, it goes to foundation, and then what? You know. So I think those are my current thoughts on things.
Yeah, just to elaborate a little bit. I mean, I think our decision tree here is I don't think anybody wants to see like just the 100,000 Alexa names and such just like become claimable. So I mean, assuming that's the case, the base case scenario is like a hard fork that extends the name claim period for the 100,000 Alexa names. One thing that we could maybe add to that, I mean, if you took it a little bit further, is and I think that's what Aaron was mentioning. Maybe through a soft fork, you could expire the open source developer names. So that could be like the second. I think from conservative to more, radical, I guess, in terms of like the changes that could be made just from a protocol level. I think the most conservative change could just be, again, like, extending the name claim period for the GTLDs and 100,000 Alexa names. Next case, like in terms of the conservative spectrum is, picking an expiration date for the open source developers. But then if we just stop there, right, we're not like, like there isn't still, like we're lacking a mechanism to kind of, further adoption and such, right? So another proposal I've heard is, we reallocate those coins to a DAO. Some of the issues with that or some of the challenges with that is, one of the key kind of tenets, people were, the existing community is really interested in Handshake is kind of like the decentralized nature that a foundation doesn't exist, that would make it a lot like a lot of other crypto projects, which I'm not for or against it, but I'm just kind of like outlining kind of some of the criticisms around having some kind of foundation. And I think what Ming's discussing is keep with maintain kind of the decentralized kind of ethos and tenets around Handshake, but just reallocate it to a different group, such as something in Nostr, or potentially other applications, other decentralized applications as well. I think that's kind of, go ahead.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Andrew, for bringing it up. I think that priority of sequence is very important. So I think realistically speaking, as Quinn mentioned earlier, there's a certain like time crisis here to get this done. So I think one thing that could be done, right, is that we set the expiration date for like a year or something, right, So that actually means, because it'd be very hard to get to a fast decision around how the funds are going to be used, right? But I think it is like, I think it could be very acceptable for everybody to set the, to have an expiration, right? For the unclaimed tokens, right? Which means that the community have 1 year, right? To figure out kind of like, okay, how we wanna use this like 50%, right? Of the supply, right? Do we want to burn it? Do we want to like DAO? Do you want to work with a, or do you want to kind of work with a new group of, or do you want to work with a new community, right? Such as Nostr or something else, right? To kind of drive adoption there, right? So I feel like one thing we could consider doing, right, is to split up the adult decision, right? Which is there too, right? Do we expire the token, the claim? And secondly, what to do with it, right? Maybe we can say, okay, let's give ourselves, let's let it expire, we set it 1 year period for it to expire, and then we give ourselves 1 year, right, to figure it out, which I think is a good time, which I think is a good timing, right? And the other thing is that I think it could also be the spark, right, if there's an expiration period, it could also be the spark for all these open source developers to actually start claiming it, right, especially now because Handshake actually has made a lot of progress, right? You know, with the new with the adoption by a Namecheap, you know, and other CLDs, you know, and also when Handshake started, the overt the decentralized social protocols were not a thing, you know, but now they're a thing now, right? So people might actually be much more aware of the need, you know, for something like Handshake. Yeah, you know, so I think if we can agree on an expiration period, you know, for the airdrop tokens, for airdrop, and then give ourselves a year as a community to figure out what to do with it, right? You know, that can be a good way approach and also like spark a lot more urgency, you know, more urgency and interest, more like three things, right? Number one, it will give a lot more people, it will give the community, you revive the community in what, because there's a clear thing to discuss, because there's a clear kind of treasury now, not really treasury, but clear pool now, right, to decide to do. Secondly, I think it would make a Handshake relevant again, right? And thirdly, obviously, I think it would create a lot more urgency among open source developers, the original target, you know, to be involved. Yeah.
So I have a question, and just to summarize, this is Vita, by the way, but just to summarize what I think you all are saying for the community, is the case for the hard fork would be to generate more interest from devs to claim and also to start developing, you know, on the platform or on the protocol. Is that correct? One.
The dev focus, well, they're okay, so just kind of going back into things that we did this airdrop experiment, and if we do an experiment, we should try to draw some conclusions from it too, right? So as part of this experiment, I mean, a big ethos in the airdrop was you know, giving without expectation of return, or this open source developer, like the GitHub, like the airdrop to the GitHub developers. I mean, I think what was kind of what I think I learned since the Handshake launch is that perhaps that's not the best mechanism for airdrops or things like that, because we are kind of expecting something in return, right? But like giving it without, like, you know, giving, whether it's fiat or coins, this whole notion of like giving to a group that's not even asking for it, I think there may be some flaws with that kind of concept. So I would strongly urge, you know, as you guys kind of think about different groups to kind of give to avoid situations where you're just like, hey, blindly giving to a certain group that's not even asking for it, or that's not proving that they're going to be interested.
I'll add on to that, right? I think it is one thing that they're not interested. I think the other thing is that I think that it wasn't clear what to do with it, right? You know, or what the path to adoption was, right? You know, so per what Andrew is saying, I think the coins definitely has to be either used by a group that has a keen awareness, right? You know, of how to use it, how it's going to be used, you know, right? Yeah. So I think one thing that Andrew said is very important, that it's an experiment, right? You know. And then we should draw some conclusions, you know, as a community, you know? Yeah. So I think that conclusion drawing, I think, is very important, you know, for a community to move forward on this specific point.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just want to jump in about that, because, you know, we did bring in some developers from the airdrop. I believe Falchi Fernando has said a few times he heard about Handshake from the airdrop and he got the GitHub, I believe. And maybe Rithvik. There's a small group of good core developers that did get the airdrop and did work. You know, I think do what we were, what the founders or the idea was. But I do have some developers personally I brought in through the GitHub, and they some didn't have the keys. I think we should maybe bring it up. I think a lot changed their SSH keys and they weren't able to get the claim and they didn't save their old keys. So they qualified, but they couldn't get them. because they didn't have that key at that time. But those that did have it and did claim it, they sold it. And I was trying to kind of keep them involved. I tried to bring them into Telegrams, etc. And they said, they're busy with other projects. They like this project. They'll try to like integrate it in their future projects, or they'll try to come back when they have time. And they, you know, they did appreciate it. And like you said, there's no expectation. There was no requirement for them to contribute. But, you know, as far as some points that I want to bring up from what I've noticed with the airdrop for the GitHub developers,
the last few years. I definitely want to agree with Michael here, right? I think, okay, so here's the thing. I've been involved in many airdrops, right? You know, both as a recipient and also, as an advisor and my own thing, right? Whatever, right? So I'm very familiar with airdrops, right? And then with airdrops, it's always like, you should always expect like 90% to sell it, right? And that's fine, because the whole point of the airdrop is actually for that 10%, right? You know? So I think it's definitely great that like the initial airdrop did bring in a bunch of core developers, right? Which without WimWim, there's no handshake community now, right? So I think that part is great. What to consider here is the timing, right? Yes, in 3 years, right? And definitely, I think whoever wanted to claim would have claimed it, right? So now it really is about, okay, let's give the remaining set of people a time to claim in, right? You know? But after this time, it can be a year, you know, or something, or maybe 2 years, but I don't think it's 2 years. For me, it would be 1 year to claim it, and let's start a new chapter, right? So I think that is actually kind of like my personal feeling on this thing. Yeah, I think as Paul Michael said, I think it's very important to acknowledge that the original airdrop did work, right, to a certain extent, right? You know, and then becomes okay, what do we do next? Right, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, to the original question, your original question, I mean, I don't think it necessarily has to be developer-focused this time around. I mean, you know, things that are kind of tangential or anything. I mean, other ideas behind Nostr, like, you know, could be just giving to, centralized identity or centralized entities that could add value. So some of the things that have been discussed that I've seen discussed on Telegram was like Brave, for example. There would be, you know, if we were to give more coins to Brave, that there is some kind of reciprocal kind of agreement where they're going to, integrate Handshake or exchanges like Coinbase or something. I don't think it has to go into one place or to even one group like developers or anything like that, or even just Nostr. I think the community could find a broad set of recipients that could as opposed to giving it to just one centralized DAO or foundation and entrusting them with 50% of the coin supply, I think that's kind of like a suboptimal kind of conclusion to all this. It would probably be like, you know, up to the community to kind of find a set of recipients, and kind of continue this experiment with the unclaimed.
Do you think that this is my personal feeling is that is probably, I think, figuring out how to use the coins, I think, is probably almost out of this hard fork decision. I feel like this hard fork decision should be kind of like easier in the sense that maybe the community can decide to just expire the add-on. Right, you know?
That's perfectly reasonable. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think to Aaron's discussion, if we are going to do hard fork, maybe we don't have enough time or what have you. But maybe by the time, so from 6 months from now, maybe we should have some concrete, the community itself should have at least some kind of mechanism to formulate some kind of concrete ideas so that, you know, from six months from now, we're like pretty close to consensus. In terms of timing, you know, to try to rush a hard fork out that does all of this might be premature. I agree with you on that. We should probably buy some time. At least, you know, start thinking about how to distribute the coins. And then another thing that could be interesting is maybe by that time people who can prove that they're using Handshake in some meaningful way. I know so a lot of the TLD owners like .x are in here, or anybody that's already on chain, any way to kind of give back to the people who were already building on Handshake. I think that could be really interesting. I don't have a specific idea in mind. I'm just kind of throwing out ideas.
I think it's also a really good chance to look at who actually has been involved, right? For example, I think this ranges from a lot of the community contributors to a lot of organization namesake who have actually pushed Handshake pretty hard, So I think I agree, Andrew, here. Mm-hmm.
So for clarity, are you saying that a hard fork would be required or necessary if you wanted to extend it, and then a soft fork would be required or if you wanted to implement an expiration date? Is that right?
So I think, and then I could be wrong, I think that I think we need there needs to be a hard fork 6 months from now to extend the name claims for the Alexa 100,000 and then the GTLDs. And as a part of that, I didn't mention, I think this has been discussed, is maybe letting number 10,000 to 100,000 expire, but just keeping the top 10,000, because after the 10,000, there's a lot of less popular websites on there, and maybe those are some kind of details that should be worked out. But yeah, I think to your question, I think there needs to be, I think the idea is to discuss some kind of hard fork to extend the name claims for at least, the top Alexa 10,000 or 1,000 or what have you, and the GTLDs. And then I think what Ming's proposing here is as part of that hard fork or through a soft fork, expiring the open source developer name claims maybe a year from now, and then that buys us about 6 months to decide on how to reallocate that.
So I have a question also with regard to the top, say 1,000 or 10,000 or whatever, in terms of use cases and getting some of these folks interested or educated about Handshake, do you think it might be a good idea for people like yourselves and like-minded folks who are who know the intricacies of Handshake and how it works in the protocol and some of probably the best uses for some of those companies on that list to kind of come up with some ideas about use cases? Well, you just referenced Brave browser or whatever, and then with committees that maybe we can form to start engaging these entities with these use cases to get them interested in claiming and also trying to implement using the protocol. Because it just seems like just to extend it just for extension's sake without actually actively engaging people, it just seems like more of the same.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it has to be us necessarily to do it. I mean, I think there's plenty of people in the community that are familiar with the protocol, and that are much more familiar, that probably have ideas, good ideas for the top one Alexa websites on what to do once they kind of claim their name. I think primary motivation for them to do this is if there is a new namespace for the internet. I mean, I don't know how many of these entities are even aware of Handshake's existence, but I think engaging them would be a really good start. I think if they knew about it, I think they that it wasn't too difficult for them. I think, you know, getting them to claim it, you know, just from a risk perspective, you know, obviously, like if there's a new internet, you know, Facebook will want that Facebook. I think, you know, getting them to claim them is, you know, I think there's one set of incentives or motivational factors. Getting them to use it in useful ways. But again, to your point, I think, you know, members of the community engaging with them, I think would be a huge value add.
Yeah, and also to your point, right? I think what we are really talking about here is the forcing, like, I mean, which is why it's so interesting, right? Because this hard fork decision, right, involves a forcing function, right? You know, it's a forcing function, right? It's like a forcing function for everybody, right? You know, for a community to come together to decide what the future is, right? You know, for these companies to, especially those from 100 to 1,000 to potentially start claiming it, right? You know, and also, you know, for the developers to, if there's aspiration for developers to actually start doing things, you know? Yeah, but so I think I would encourage like everybody to think of this almost like a forcing function, you know, right? For the community, for the entities that might have their staff getting inspired, you know, and so on and so forth. Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, so just to try to get some recap, or at least what I'm also interpreting, is by saying it's going to expire, get your names, get your airdrop, you know, hopefully that'll be like a last call, and it also could be a marketing campaign. I know Vita's got marketing experience and wants to help with marketing for Handshake. You know, this could be a campaign, right? That, hey, last call, airdrop, you know, for GitHub, or, you know, name claim coins.
Andrew actually said something interesting. Andrew said that, like, maybe if the 1 to 10,000 is, like, we don't want to touch it, right? No, because the moment we touch it, the moment people start, like, getting a handle of those handles, then it's over, right, you know? But then it's not over. Like, I think if a spammer get access to .google, that's, like, really bad. But I think his point, I think, to iterate, to kind of jump on something that I found interesting there, was that his point is that, okay, maybe it's not so bad if we let the 10,000 to 100,000 expire, right? You know, right? And yeah. I think and give them some impetus to claim. Yeah,
I don't know if how others here feel, but I feel burning the coin, maybe just let them get the name, even for Google or ICANN. I think they've had 4 years to get the name and the coin, and I think some of them are actually aware of us, so they could still get their names, but they can't get the coin. Is kind of how I feel is fair.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. I think, for me anyway, right? I think breaking apart the name reservation, and it, by the way, just to be clear, in big companies, actually, the money stuff is a big problem. By the way, in the sense that it is not clear. Every time you want to give money to a big company like this, like kind of who gets it, where does it go, everything becomes extremely complicated, you know? So even for the sake of making it easier for people, right, you know, it could also be good to break it apart. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, but I completely agree with you. I think the coin allocation for them and the name and the reserving the name, I think those are two different things. Yeah. I completely agree.
Okay, great. Yeah, I think a lot of us are feeling that way. Like, yeah, no, I don't think anybody wants to see .google go to some anybody but Google, so, or whichever other names there might be in those top 1,000 or so. So, but yeah, I think the money part, like you said, actually, I've heard the same people saying companies can't claim the name because there's that money or coin attached, and like you just said, they don't know what to do, or it's complicated in a company about the financial part. So I feel a lot of us are agreeing with this.
Do you mind if I pop in for a sec?
Sure, Max, go ahead.
Yeah, hey everyone. First of all, the space is really awesome. Thanks for putting it together. Also, First Names Con's been really cool. And appreciate Andrew and Miao taking the time. My understanding here is that we have a couple different issues. I think it's really important that we separate them as much as we think about all of them holistically. One thing is that we have to do some sort of fork, either a soft fork or a hard fork, because we need to extend the ICANN gTLDs or the ICANN TLDs, right? The .coms, the .nets, the .orgs. That needs to happen. We also have these 100,000 Alexa domains, and And a lot of people haven't claimed them, and they're probably not going to claim them, you know, maybe not a significant amount between now and the next 6 months, which is the time that we have to execute this fork. And forks, as I understand it, take time to execute, to repose and to execute. I know that some people here presently right now have voiced this in the past, but the urgency wasn't there. So we have the groundwork. And I haven't heard a single person say anything against reserving the top ICANN TLDs. So I think we've come to consensus on that. I also think that although maybe we cut down the top 100,000, maybe we don't. Maybe there's good proposals for what we can do with the funds. Maybe there aren't. But we can probably address that later. So in terms of urgency, the ICANN TLDs need to be reserved. And probably in the same boat in terms of urgency, it's probably best to just stick with the 100,000 with the coins there and ensure that we can get this fork executed. And then through the rallying of the community and Twitter spaces like this and the continued efforts that we're doing, we can come up with plans and proposals for what to do with those funds should we reduce the TLD count or maybe separate the coins from the claimable TLDs. All of those things are on the table, I think, but there is a sense of urgency, which is we are 6 months from the time when that expiration date comes, and it takes time to implement forks. So that's my understanding. Please correct me, anybody who wants to correct me.
I'm not sure if you came in later, but at the very beginning we read off what Aaron had been sharing around in various groups, AOX, which was it's being done by Nodar, and they strongly recommend we just focus on extending the names and not talk about this, coin part. And it should be ready by January 2024. And it seems like it's on track by Nodar. So I think there is, and Andrew said, I think there's full consensus in extending the. Even I'm not sure how to say it. There's a couple parts, right? There's the Alexa 100K, but I think we want to reduce that. And then there's, of course, like ICANNs and the TLDs. But I think that's happening now. It's being done by Nodar, and it will be done by January. So it should be able to be done. I believe that's all. Everybody's on the same page.
Okay. I think that's great. Awesome.
So I think what's kind of even just kind of been discovered during this call is, we should still, of course, discuss the second part. I guess it would be a second fork. I'm not sure if what we're calling hard fork, soft fork, but this would be I think the majority of this discussion is about money, because, of course, money's makes everything more complicated. And so we're talking about what to do about the coins from like GitHub and even the name claims. So Andrew outlined three different ways, or maybe it was Meow, burn, DAO, or reallocate to different kinds of communities, such as GitHub, which might have not worked, maybe NoStar. I've also been meaning to say Blue Sky, because, Zach at the Shake has done a lot of work with Blue Sky. But maybe reallocating that GitHub to other types of communities that might be more focused on naming, that would more easily or more likely understand and use the names or the HNS coin to buy names. So I think that was Meow that said maybe the GitHub was too broad, and we can kind of reallocate those to focus down towards a community that would use names, which is something I'm kind of liking out of those three personally.
Okay, curious to know if the guests today are interested in taking any questions. Are you comfortable taking a couple of questions from the audience?
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I think one other discussion point that we probably have left going is so suppose we, as Migs Machine kind of suggested, we just leave the name claims as is, and hard fork and extend the expiration. I mean, do we extend the expiration, or do we make it kind of like infinite or something? So that's one part of it. And then the other part with the open source name claims, like, do we just let that expire, or do we just put an expiration date around it? Like, so let's say like, you know, a year from 6 months from now or something, or just a year from today. Like what would be the kind of the best way to do that? And then also around these questions, how do we you know, kind of generate community consensus around this? You know, do we you know, set up like some kind of like weekly Twitter spaces to kind of do this, or do we assign some kind of committee? Like what would be the logistics around kind of you know, the community coming to consensus around, I guess, the most important issue, which there is consensus around, right? Which is like extending the name claims and expiring the open source developer claims at some point.
Yeah, I think to emphasize something, I think it's important to break up the discussion around expiring the open source claims, and the what to do with it, right? You know, I think the former is.
Yeah, we hear you, but maybe wait until okay. Yeah,
I think it's working. Okay.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm coming at this from the perspective of an economist and the tokenomics of things. And I'm concerned that if the supply is flooded, that the price is going to drop to zero. And, you know, what does that mean? Does that mean capitulation? I think we already have a big problem in that we're discussing giving people worthless coins and they're worth nothing. And the way to make them worth something is to cut back the supply. And it's hard now. You know, the ASIC miners are $3,000. Who's going to pay that for a coin that's worth nothing? So I think that the tokenomic side of things is just as important as the name side of things to make this work.
Well, I asking the question of who's going to buy when I bought an H3 yesterday. So HS3 yesterday, or a couple of days ago, and it comes in the mail like tomorrow. So, I mean,
maybe yeah. If you're new to the stage, if you could introduce yourselves. Sorry,
I
mean,
I'm very sorry. Yeah.
For everyone that's new. No, not just so, you know, I think we all understand, if you're comfortable, at least to explain, you know, some economists and others, we'll try our best. I know that this could be I don't know if we should put a time cap on this. I don't know how much time Andrew or Meow have, but you know, we'll try our best to address all of this. We want to hear these insights and these perspectives. But yeah, go ahead.
To Domain's question, I think that maybe Mike, you addressed that by separating the two, the coin from the name, as a resolution to that problem.
I'm the economist. Sorry, I'm just, my Twitter Spaces is buggy, so I'm paranoid to change my settings. But I don't know who's speaking. But the economist about the worry of the supply, it is a fair point. So then, would you say the solution is burning, or I mean, is your, what would be your solution? I think if everybody has if we could try to bring solutions as well as problems, and that would be appreciated.
Well, I think that there's too many coins. I mean, 2 billion is a whole different ballgame from Bitcoin's 21 million. And we need to make this token worth something so that people want it and people will mine for it. And the exchanges will want to list it. So I think you have to talk about burning them. I mean, I would burn whenever possible. Burn, burn, baby, burn, I guess. We got to cut back the supply so that the coin comes up in value. Otherwise, the whole project is not going to work.
So actually, so let me jump in here real quick, because you know, in my work I deal with a lot of tokens, right, on a very daily basis. So I think I completely agree with I completely understand where you're coming from, right? You know, around the burning of the coins. However, obviously there's economics, right? You know, there's supply and there's demand, right? You know, right? So I think certainly part of the problem here is that, like, early on, I think there was a lot of, I would say supply, right? You know, right? In a sense that whether it's from the creamers or the miners or whatever, right? And there's a lot of supply in the market, right? However, I would also argue that it's a demand problem, right? You know, that I'll argue that the bigger problem for Handshake is a demand problem, right? That not that I think we have a, I think Handshake has a very high amount of awareness in the space. I think also extremely good credibility, right? However, I think the main thing is that I don't think enough people actually has adopted Handshake, right? You know, or has adopted Handshake or even used it or even tried it, right? So I think the question to, and I definitely agree. First of all, I definitely agree that burn should be one of the discussion points, right? You know, and I think the way to answer that is to think about, okay, do we have a demand problem or supply problem, right? You know, and I would argue that we have a much bigger demand problem, you know, than supply problem, because in some sense, the people with the Handshake now who wants to sell it has already sold it, right? You know, right? And then if you think about it, right, the people who have Handshake now who also has already sold it, you know, long time ago, right? I don't really think there's anyone actively selling Handshake right now. So given that there's no one actively selling Handshake right now, why hasn't the price actually seen much progress, right? It's a demand problem, right? So while I think burn should definitely and 100% be on the options here, table here, right? I do think that the much bigger question is demand. How do we drive interest, you know, adoption, right? You know, and demand by Handshake. You know, I think that would be the more, that would be important for me. Yeah.
So if I could just jump in really quick. Sorry, I'm blanking on a person's name, but he's been pretty been shopping around a proposal to like somehow shorten the amount of names that can be renewed per block to create more. He says, I don't know if anybody here can help me, but I could try to find it. But he's saying that way it would create more pressure to renew, and it would increase the fees or increase the or limit the amount that could renew per block, something like this. So that would create more demand, and there would be more expirations, and there would be more bidding. That's what he. I'm apologize for. If he's here, it'd be great. But he's been shopping that around for a while.
I'm just concerned that when the price drops to zero, that the ball game's over.
Hey guys, do you hear me?
Okay. Does Andrew? Do you want to address this? Ming spoke or Meow? Excuse me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with both sides. I see the point about too much supply and the concerns around the price. But I do think, on the supply side, I do resonate with what Miao was saying, you know, like that most people that wanted to sell probably already did. And also on the supply side, you know, the halving just happened. So miners, so the inflation is reduced and will continue to be reduced. So, most of the supply side issues, I think are already addressed, except for the, the supply overhang of unclaimed coins and what to do with that. And in terms of like how it affects price, in terms of reallocating and this and things like that, I think it's the community's goal to find a way to reallocate to this where there's positive EV, where, you know, if we reallocate it to a certain group, let's say a certain amount to, like, I think Brave is like a pretty simple, like simplest example. Like at what point is it worth, you know, if we reallocate some coins to Brave or something, at what point is it worth it to the kind of like the price or something, right? I mean, there has to be a EV calculation there. And so instead of burning, you know, like let's say however many million coins, you know, what if we reallocated it to Brave and they committed to, you know, integrating Handshake, for example? And I'm not sure that we can get the deal done, but like I think they were kind of open to it in some of the discussions I saw. And so in that discussion, like there is a point at which, you know, the value that we would receive from a browser integration would and the impact to the price would exceed. I don't know. I mean, degree like for sure, like we should allocate 50% of the coins to Brave.
Okay.
Like at some point, it doesn't work, but yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Andrew. Sorry. So I think we have about 30 minutes left. We've been just chatting to people about how much time people have left. So let's just try to put a 30-minute timer on this for everyone. There's also a couple people on stage that I think we haven't had a chance to share yet that I think we would like to hear from. They've been very supportive and active in the community. I think they have also different perspectives. Save the Doctor and also Andrew C. Maybe Save the Doctor, do you want to go first?
Yeah, one thing I want to always bring up is it's very important, you know, that we keep talking about community consensus, but how are we going to get that, you know? And, you know, some people would make comments on, well, maybe based on, you know, TLDs. That, of course, becomes a problem. You know, some people have a bunch of TLDs, so that would, you know, really cause an issue, in my opinion, for, you know, people being able to outweigh other people's votes for no reason other than just having a lot of names. So I guess that's one of the big questions that I have. You know, how would we come about getting a vote that would be, you know, consensus?
It's a little bit fuzzy for me. I don't know if you can get close to your Wi-Fi.
Like he was asking, like the mechanism for how we achieve community consensus. You know, like some kind of TLD vote. He said would be could be unfair. I mean, I agree. In terms of like how, yeah, and I don't know. I think that is an open question. In terms of like how we come to some conclusion, but I think one of the requirements probably for it is more like discussions, like the one we're having now. I mean, if we could have some, you know, if there's somebody that wants to take lead on like, you know, like some regular discussions or document or something like that, where people start like, you know, coming up with ideas. Traditionally, what I've seen, you know, like for more technical, like I think this question is more of a business or economics type of discussion, a business side discussion than it is technical. But from like a technical perspective, like a lot of the times people propose like different HIPs, which you know, whatever the community, wherever this leads would probably end up like being formalized into some HIP, and that there would be some kind of voting, minor voting or some kind of you know, discussion around that specific HIP. Right now, I think it's a little bit too abstract to like nail down into a specific document. But, you know, I think that would be the eventual goal of these discussions. You know, a bunch of discussions lead to a proposal, and then that proposal is like voted on or discussed within the community. I think is the mechanism that we would pursue, or that's been pursued in the past.
Yeah. Cool. And I think it's also, I think there's a lot of questions around, you know, what to do with the coins. I mean, and one thing that I've really been curious about is, you know, if there's any plans, and maybe we can talk about this in more detail, but, you know, some plans for allocating some of those coins for security testing. You know, I think it would be really, really useful for the, you know, for the community to be able to make sure that the chain is secure, and, you know, someone can't just, you know, steal all the names, per se, you know.
Also, Andrew, we have gotten together as a community recently pretty regularly and started a marketing committee that looks like it's evolving into other things. And people have proposed some great ideas. And I do think that we have made some progress. And I think we're working on getting, you know, more consistent and, you know, really coming up with a plan to activate a lot of these ideas that we're having. So all of those things that you said, I think are in the works, and we're moving in the right direction with regard to that. But yes, in terms of coming up with a comprehensive way that everybody agrees on in terms of, you know, how we vote or whatever else, or does somebody's vote have more weight than the other person's vote? I don't know necessarily how we'll do that. We talked about, again, creating possibly a DAO and doing some fundraising with it by having a possible, you know, buy-in, all sorts of different things that I guess we have to come to a consensus on.
There was one creative idea. I don't know if it was Save the Doctor just said it or someone else, but they said to put a text record on your TLD on chain as a vote, something like that, which I thought was pretty creative.
I think I don't know who said Bagwell that. Might have said something, or maybe it wasn't a text, but I think he might have mentioned something as well in one of the discords.
Okay, great. Let's move it to Andrew. Andrew C. He's very active and always supporting Handshake all over the internet. So, Andrew, do you want to share your? I know you have a lot of opinion.
Yeah. Hello, guys. Do you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, okay, cool. So I'm currently living in Norway, and Norway is a bit of a famous of having 5% of Bitcoin hash rate in our small country. And this one thing about tokenomics and about mining of Handshake Coin and stuff like that, that our community is not seeing is that from my discussion with Norwegian miners and trying to introduce Handshake, and during a little bit of discussions about potential hard fork and DAO and stuff like that, I was explained that in case of creation of DAO, there will be basically two coin issuers on the Handshake blockchain. The first one is going to be blockchain itself. You do the work, you get the reward, you get the coin, it's fine. And the second issuer is a DAO. And with DAO, you basically don't need to do any type of work at all besides being semi-political and semi-marketing type of guy. So you basically just need to vote in order to get the rewards and allocate those rewards to any preferred third party. And the issue with doing things like this way is no one from the mining community of any decent size had any desire to join the chain and actively mine coins where there is two coin issuers, because as a miner you need to provide a lot of work before you get the reward. You need to buy the equipment, you need to set up the operations, you need to educate your staff, you need to pay taxes, you need to do a lot of stuff. And every single miner of a decent size I've talked to Norway is choosing Bitcoin because Bitcoin has this ultimate set of rules for everyone. And if we are going to miss some details with this DAO, and if we are going to create effectively two coin issuers on the Handshake blockchain, there will be a lot less attention from the mining community towards this project, because every single miner I spoke to wants to have clear rules and a sort of immutable system where you provide the work and you get the reward, and there's no gatekeeper, and there is no like intermediary who can get the rewards without doing any type of work at all. So this is the biggest concern I received from the mining community in Norway. And of course, those guys are extreme maximalists, so I don't even understand how I was allowed to talk about anything apart from Bitcoin. But conclusion of that discussion was you have to avoid creating the situation where there is two coin issuers on one blockchain, because if there's an entity which mines or which just buys coins and only after that invests in any type of stuff, that's okay, that's good. But if you can increase or decrease supply by just being a cool marketing guy. That's not sustainable in the long term for any miner of a decent size.
Okay, thank you, Andrew. Now we got Andrew, but Andrew Lee or Meow, do you want to comment on that or give your insight?
Oh yeah, I mean, as someone who definitely like feels, or as someone who, I mean, I other than handshake, I mean, I'm pretty maximalish, I guess. I definitely understand the sentiment around that, and but I mean, handshake, I would say is like isn't, I mean, it's. Oh, I mean, I guess one of the routes that it could pursue is through some kind of DAO, or second issuer, as you kind of mentioned. I think this scenario is a little bit different in the sense that, I mean, this allocation, this airdrop to open source developer already exists. We're not inflating the supply more than, you know, what's already been, you know, defined in the rules. And it's a matter of just kind of reallocating it in terms of and I guess like one option would be, you know, like having some foundation or DAO, which is not what I was, you know, which I'm not like personally like you know, kind of in favor of. I'd rather find some way where we could get, you know, positive EV by allocating it to a constituent that have either already proven work or demonstrate that they will do work, I guess.
Yeah, so to double down on what Andrew is saying, right? I think first of all, Andrew, thanks a lot for that perspective. I think I think we kind of like haven't talked on miners yet, right? You know, but they are obviously kind of like the ones that would determine a lot of things. Yeah, so thanks for bringing it up. Yeah, I think the messaging here is actually very important. We are not actually issuing new coins, and even if a DAO does exist, it's actually not a coin issuance, right? It's actually more of a you know, of like resource allocation kind of thing, right? You know, so I think that distinction is actually very, very important, in the sense that there would not be quote unquote new coins, right? You know, but it's more like around like allocation of coins, and this also ties back to what Dominic was saying earlier about too much supply, right? So I think the only way to answer that question really from the lens of EV, right? You know, like I think we as a community have to do things that is like, you know, expected positive EV, you know, whether it is in terms of working organizations, you know, or in terms of like, you know, dropping it to a community that would use it. Yeah. So that's how I think about it. Another thing is that I do think that DAO question is not binary, right? You know, like for example, it could jolly well be such that like you know, part a fraction of the supply goes to an organization that would allocate to ongoing contributors. Right, you know, not the entire supply. So I think I do encourage everyone not to take a binary approach to the DAO or not DAO thing. Yeah, I think there are many ways to slice the pie. You know, yeah, between burning, between a more like a DAO approach, or between a straight up like allocation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, and I think we all appreciate it, Andrew Norway. You know, your commitment for the chain. So, thank you. We got about 15 minutes left. I'm chatting to Anne behind the scenes. There's many more that want to come up on stage or share their voices. Or Andrew Norway, do you have a comment back to theirs?
We also have Quasar. Who has his hand raised, by the way.
So Andrew. Andrew, yeah, go ahead, if you want to reply to that.
Yeah, well, I understand that the question with DAO is not binary, and it's not black and white. We can have a lot of type of potential altcoins, but we are still going to deal with the same exact type of a situation where even though we reallocate to the next big thing, which potentially can bring attention to the Handshake blockchain, but what happens if this next big thing does not bring any attention at all? Do we need to change and do we need to reallocate those funds once again in a four-year cycle? This is the big question, because we are, again, even though we are using all types of decentralized tools, we are manipulating the issuance of the token because we are changing the rules, basically. The first set of rules was this, like, we have this 45% of supply, which goes to developers, and it's okay to claim whenever you want. After 4 years, we're changing to, let's say, Blue Sky, Noster type of thing. And if it's not going to go as planned, during the span of next 4 years, we're going to change the rules once again. And from the miners' perspective, this is not something that you would want to see on the layer one, which idealistically should be immutable set of rules, indestructible, and fair for anyone. So in my opinion, and from the insights of all the people I've talked to, the less hard forks and the less soft forks we are going to have moving into the future, the better.
So can you just give us your proposal, your idea? Burn is your suggestion, or nothing, or to keep them locked?
I really like this proposal of reworking the airdrop for the developers. I don't really remember who was the guy to propose it, but I think that if we can find an option to rework and to kind of recreate the initial airdrop for the developers.
Weren't Meow and Andrew very much involved with that? I mean, you guys are both here. Weren't you guys both very involved with that decision and how it worked? Initially part of the initial experiment?
Yeah, I mean, I would say part of the initial experiment here was to create this airdrop in like the most decentralized way possible, right? You know, and the way that once it's done, kind of thing, right? You know, so have the airdrop baked into the original ethos, right? You know, of the blockchain, and we're done, right? You know, obviously the discussion now becomes like, okay, you know, now that it's 3.5 years in, you know, right? Do we want to update that, you know? Yeah. And to Andrew's point, I think I think that definitely is a actually, Andrew, I kind of missed your point earlier. Are you saying you're in favor of doing something with the reallocating it to a more productive use case, or are you saying you're not? Sorry, I missed that. Sorry.
Well, basically, my proposition was to do basically the same thing, to keep the set of rules as it is today, and maybe somehow rework the airdrop for the developers so that there's no issue for foreseeable future with claiming those coins.
What do you mean by rework?
I don't really sure that I understand how the airdrop works from the technical side of the question, but there was this issue that some of the developers can't claim the coins because they changed the
SSH keys, like, yes. Expired, they didn't keep their keys, something like this.
Got it. So you are proposing that the rules remain exactly the same?
Yes, if we can have the exact same set of rules, but we can take into consideration this problem or issue with the keys.
He means like,
but Andre, I mean, I think there were like 100,000 developers that were eligible for the airdrop, And I think this stat is like 2% or something claimed, right? I could have some number, maybe it's 2 or maybe it's 3. And I think the biggest issue isn't that, like, you know, some developers lost their SSH keys. I don't think that contributes to, like, you know, 10% or something that would have claimed or something of that sort. I think you know, that kind of change might get it from, like, you know, two, let's say the static number is like 2%, maybe that gets it to 2.1%. But the real question is, like, what do we do with this other 98%?
So let it be like the way it was decided earlier. Like, why change?
Oh, because they're not being claimed.
It's not going to be claimed, and then we're trying to figure out a way to draw.
To point, right? Right now, for me,
He's had his hand raised for a while.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry.
Is that for me?
Maybe you said he, yeah. But like, I don't know who, yeah. Maybe username or something.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not looking at my phone.
You're not looking at your phone, and I can't hear Michael when he speaks and Meow comes in and out. So I've got text on here. So the name didn't come out as Quasar. So let's play this out a little bit. If we could keep it as a handshake improvement proposal.
Maybe enter yourself if you don't mind. It's just sort of.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Right? Yes. Yeah. My name is Quasar. I've been in the blockchain and crypto space since 2017. I started with Ethereum and then found my way to Cardano. And Cardano is the UTXO model. And they actually did an extended UTXO model and really created something unique with a hard fork combinator event. So they, you know, they blend code in, they merge it into the existing protocol. So there's, you know, you can always look back, but there's no hard fork. So establishing, you know, what we want to do as far as hard fork, soft fork, or take the time to pursue those options, in my opinion, would be a wise way to go about it. And between the airdrop, the way that was done, and to now, the technology, the community, the growth, so much has changed that I would not even really use the numbers, the 2% or what it may be, as, you know, we could use it as a milestone for what we do with them in the future, but we could just move the airdrop feature to a DAO, which would also allow the marketing of the airdrop. So there's no one and Andrew, you're absolutely right. That's kind of the way DAOs are sometimes. You could do nothing and just be a schmoozer and end up getting it. But you can attach this to real, you know, binary events. Did this happen or not? And, you know, GitHub, too broad. GitHub Pilot, GitHub Shorts, GitHub, you know, XYZ. How much has GitHub evolved since then as well? And then you could throw in GitLab. There's so many options on the table that I believe Handshake is in the perfect situation and opportunity to take advantage of multiple things going on, protecting the proof of work miners, and also perhaps pursuing a proof of stake integration. Handshake needs to be faster. That's, you know, I hope no one minds me saying that, but I think it does. Move those things, you know, move the decisions. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, but, you know, keeping it as a Handshake improvement proposal would be ideal, in my opinion, because, yeah, if you do put it to a DAO, like our co-host said, how do we vote? You know, what do we do? Is it token weighted? You know, that's a conversation to avoid altogether if possible, because it's a complex one. And as an invitation or on behalf of the Cardano community, our innovation fund, Project Catalyst is starting in next month, June 21st. There's $1 million or 1 million ADA allocated to the open source developer ecosystem. And I could see a huge opportunity for Handshake to be part of that and still fund, fuel, and ignite open source software, open source standards. There's too much at risk to not pursue it. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Qatar. Does anybody want to, especially our guests like Miao or Andrew Lee, do you want to comment on those points?
No, I don't have anything. I don't have any specific comments.
Can I
ask? Okay, me? I think we're getting close to time. Yeah, go ahead, somebody.
So, Miao and G, I would like to know, what are your views on reducing the renewal block, like limit per year, per block, to increase the demand?
Sorry.
So what
you might?
Yeah. What are your views on reducing the renewal limit per block to increase the demand? Like, the main problem is demand. Where to get the demand from? All the premium names are gone, so whoever has to buy, he can go off market and he can buy. He doesn't need coins.
Oh,
right.
Got it. Oh yeah, actually, on that note, shameless show here, it's like, if anyone knows who owns .meow, I would really love that domain.
And you gotta pay in like whatever, you can pay in BTC, so it's not like.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, honestly, I made a mistake when beating it. I messed it up, so I didn't buy it. I'm so sad about that. So if anyone owns Domino, let me know. All right, yeah, but to that point, yeah, I think the first problem is that, do people want Handshake names, right? You know, I think that's the first question. How do we get more people to want Handshake names, right? And second thing is that I do think that if enough people want Handshake, if there's proven that people do want Handshake names, then I think, and then we really want to increase like the demand side of things, then I would agree, right? That would actually be an interesting process. I do think that putting forth that proposal right now is a little bit putting the cart before the horse, you know? In a sense that, like, so I think two conditions, right? Two conditions that I think the community should pursue that. The first condition is that there's proven demand that people want and desire Handshake names, right? The second thing is, okay, we think that, like, you know, we think that if the we think that, like, we are at a point whereby increase in usage and adoption of the token and the technical utility of the token, right? Increase the demand. Right, you know, then I think that discussion can happen, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But for now, I feel like it's a bit early because I don't see a deep desire to buy the the buy names right now. But if that starts to change, then I think that that's a fun discussion to have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've heard other discussions. If this does scale, you think even Matt Zipkin said, you know, it would get pretty expensive even as is. If, to a second, like Meow, like if this does get mass adoption, the cost to renew will become more considerable. So I also am afraid to scare people off. I've also, in various Twitter spaces, had people upset when Namebase is announced they're not going to be giving free for life anymore because they used to just absorb the fees. Renewal fees are going to be passing those renewal fees to the end user on Namebase. So there's definitely people not happy about that. Of course, that's not in the protocol itself. That's on the Namebase side. But, you know, I think I kind of agree with Miao. Like, we don't want to discourage people until we have more use case and utility of the names.
Yeah, but I think once that utility is there, then I think a lot can be played with, you know, on the tokenomics side of things. Yeah, no one for sure.
Mike, I know you said we were ending in half an hour. It's 8:30.
Yeah, there's certain guests to have to have something. Yeah, maybe it's been an hour and a half. I think maybe we should kind of wrap up. I think we've kind of accomplished. The purpose of today's space was to hear from Andrew and Miao, get some of their insights and feedback. I think we've allowed people to share. So I think we kind of accomplished it. So yeah, I think it's a good time to wrap.
We do have one more person who joined the stage, Paul Webb. Before you close, maybe he can contribute to the conversation.
Sure. Yeah, we appreciate Paul. I'm not sure if every guest will be staying here, but if we can, I'll stick around for that.
All right. Last and but not least. All right. So, yeah, I'm Paul Webb, NetOpWibby. I own the alien emoji. Just recently got the beach emoji, so happy about that. Been in Handshake since it started, and I have thoughts. First, I've been saying this for such a long time, but focusing on token price at this point is incredibly premature still, even like 3 years in. And like it just doesn't make sense because we don't have utility like that. It's not as easy to just like spin up a WordPress blog and have it hosted and all that stuff. Once we get to that point, I don't think anybody's going to be worried about token price because the demand would clearly be there. That's just how it works. So to artificially pump the price, like we aren't Ethereum. We don't need to do things like that. We have utility. It's not DeFi. So I understand that people who have a lot of HNS are irritated seeing their thousands of HNS being worth like $20. That's fine for now, but I mean, this is long game type stuff. I wanted to comment on something Quasar said about proof of stake. That doesn't make sense for Handshake because the way that Handshake is better than HNS is security. So we need the proof of work. However, I do think that we could have an L2 that's maybe proof of stake. I don't know if that makes sense, but one of the things that we currently struggle with and newbies are especially frustrated by is that transfers take two entire days when on the ICANN side, a transfer can happen as soon as DNS servers propagate. So it could be minutes. It could be same day at the very least. Let's see. I don't have anything else. I just wanted to get that stuff out there. Pretty much everything else I had issues with has been mentioned, resolved. I do like the idea of separating the name claim from the coin claim because I do remember conversations with companies like, hey, we would love to get this Handshake name, but you know, for legal reasons and we don't want the SEC on our ass, yada, yada, that stuff. So that makes sense to get more people, more companies engaged because we do need more money in the space. That would be nice. So yeah, I guess I will end by saying thanks for the discussion. It's been very enlightening. I learned some things. I do think we should check in with the Cardano stuff because they have the same kind of system we have with the UTXO stuff. So, you know, let's steal ideas and make them work for us. All right. That's it for me.
Just a quick reminder, there will be a space on Sunday. I did post that. It's also linked up at the top. So for people that want to kind of continue the conversation, you can join, you know, entirely up to you. But I am also heading out. Thank you so much, Mike, Sky Include, and everybody.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Biggs. I'll be there. Yeah, so I think that's best way to wrap up. Yeah, we'll do another space community style. Megs will be there. I'll help out or I'll be there. Everyone's welcome to join and continue the conversation. You know, think about sleep on this. Think about it more. Write up some ideas. And also a little plug for the Flamingo Handshake. Ann's been helping get that going. We got some names. I think it's in about 12 hours. Check for the announcement. Less than 24 hours, excuse me. So if you're interested in that, it would be great to support. And yeah. Thanks for everybody. This was a recorded space that will be, you know, replayable. And we appreciate all of your insights and we're listening. Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys. Bye-bye. Super fun. Bye-bye.
Okay. Have a nice night, everybody. Thank you.